Angels on Overtime, a heartwarming love story of angelic proportions. Chapter 1. Once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away. Oh, sorry, that's another story. But it could be this one, too. Could be the beginning of a lot of stories. All stories, really. But actually, the galaxy isn't far, far away, because nothing is far, far away, really. Everything is just a thought away. Everything. So, in this galaxy that isn't very far away after all, is a very large room. Very large. Emphasis on very. And large. Oh, you wouldn't believe the love and dedication that fills this room. This room spreads on for miles and miles and miles in every direction. You can't even see its walls. But more about the room itself in a little bit. Right now, we're standing in front of an office. The sign on the door reads Manager, Angelic Affairs, which makes no sense at all, really, because everything, everywhere, would fall under the category of affairs of angels, and we'd all be managers managing them. But anyway, Henry, a plump, balding angel, sits behind his large, angelofficial desk. Now, you might wonder why this angel would choose to be plump and balding and sitting behind a large angelofficial desk when he can choose to be anything anywhere. Well, what do you think of when you see a plump, balding man? Wasn't your favorite uncle like that? How about your favorite art teacher in that frumpy navy blue cardigan with the frayed elbows? And didn't you just want to throw your arms around him in a big sloppy bear hug? Well, that's why Henry chooses to be plump and balding, and why anyone would choose to be plump and balding, because it's all a choice. All of it. Every last bit. It's a choice. Maybe the choice isn't made consciously top of mind, but it's made. Not sure how many big sloppy bear hugs Henry, your uncle, or that old art teacher actually got, but I'm sure lots of folks thought about it. Now, as for sitting behind his desk, that's another choice, because as you now well know, anyone can be anything, anywhere. But Henry chooses to sit behind his large angelofficial desk to be of high service. And since he is a very organized angel and loves being an angelic resources manager, you know, like the best human resources manager in the best organization you ever worked for, that's what he chooses. And he chooses the angelificialness of his angelificial desk to weed out the ones who don't really mean it. The chaff from the wheat, the angels from the, well, angels. Okay, the less than dedicated angels from the highly dedicated angels. Henry looks to be about 65, in Earth time. Sitting in front of him is Brooke. Now, Brooke is what you might picture an angel to look like, if an angel could be of Northern European descent anyway. Long blonde hair and big blue eyes that soak in the worlds around her. She appears to be about 25 in Earth time, but really she's as old as the universe. And so are you, by the way. Put in that perspective, you've been holding up very well. It's truly amazing how wonderful everyone looks, considering. Do angels have wings? Well, they do if they want to. Brooke and Henry don't have them, nor do any of the angels in our story here, but many an angel or two have donned a pair of wings for that special occasion or two, or 18 million, when they wanted to look especially angelic. Why would you want to do this? Henry demands of Brooke. It's the hardest job in the universe. It's all you hear about, Brooke answers. All over every single galaxy. Earth, Earth, Earth. I figure if I can't get in as a human, I could try it this way. These humans can be thick as wood and just as pliable. Henry looks at her over the top of his bifocals. Angels sometimes wear bifocals when they want to have that professorial look too, just like humans. Why don't you go to Arcturus and just be content with peace, love, and instant manifestation? This is what I want, more than anything in the entire universe. Henry sighs. All right then, follow me. It's not like we couldn't use a willing volunteer down there. But he smiles to himself, as if at some joke.